I love the word. I love this church. And just by the way, if you weren't here this morning, can I really encourage you to get the podcast? Because Ron spoke an awesome message. And if you weren't here last Sunday morning, you need to hear that message too, because that was powerful. And it was really funny. And that's pretty cool. And for those that were here this morning and noticed that Ron was talking about ducks walking across the road, well, Liz and I were coming home from Gran and Bupper's today, and as we got onto Montague Street, which is the street we live on, sure enough, there's two ducks crossing the road, and I had to slow down to a stop to watch the ducks go by, and then kept going. And I was just like, wow, that's funny. Ron was only talking about that this morning. It was a good message on ducks. Awesome. Oh, I'm so excited tonight because I get to talk to you about Jesus. And that might come as a surprise because we're at church, but you know, that's what we're here for. And I love Jesus. And you know, I just want to share with you some awesome thoughts about Jesus and what that means for you and how that can just impact and totally change your life. Because Jesus, He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He is our Savior. He died on the cross for our sins. And we can have an incredible life if we just take hold of Jesus and let Him live inside of us. Oh, Jesus, we just honor You. God, I'm just going to pray, Lord. Lord, I just commit tonight to You and this message to You, Lord. I thank You for Jesus. And I pray that as Your word goes out, that people would just be impacted by Jesus. I thank You there is power in the name of Jesus. And I pray every time I say it, God, there would be power released. And You would just move in people's lives, God. And I pray You would just speak through me, God, and give me the words to say into these people tonight. Amen. Awesome. Why don't you open your Bibles, if you have it, to the book of Ephesians, chapter 3, verse 8. When I was back at school, back in year 11 and 12, that was about the time God spoke to me about the calling He had for my life, and that was to pastor a church. And I remember one particular Sunday, He really spoke that into my heart. And I remember reading this scripture in Ephesians, and it really just resonated in my soul, and it really spoke to me. And I just want to share that with you tonight. But it spoke to me because of two things that are in this scripture. And so I'll read it out. And so it's Ephesians chapter 3, I'm going to start from 7. I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of His power. Although I am less than all the least of these the Lord's people, this grace was given me to preach to the Gentiles the boundless riches of Christ and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery. The boundless riches of Christ. When I was at school, I remember in year 11, I was a prefect in my school, and the prefects had the responsibility to MC the end-of-year school concert. Anyone that went to school have an end-of-year concert? You guys remember that? We had ours in the Menning Entertainment Center, which we called the MEC. And so when I moved to Wollongong and heard about the WEC, I'm like, that sounds weird. Because it's the MEC. I'm sure you guys got it from Tari. But anyhow, we had our end-of-year concert, and I was one of the MCs for that night. And I remember I was introducing the next group of people to come up. I can't remember exactly what happened, I introduced them, and you know how there's this is like a big theater type thing, an entertainment center, so similar to what we've got here in Wollongong, just a bit smaller, about 500 people or so fits into it, and it had this massive red curtain. You know the big red curtains that separate the audience from the stage? This enormous red curtain, so the stage is maybe twice the size of this stage, both in length and depth. And there was this huge red curtain that, you know, was a little bit higher than this roof here. And it would come down, and it would also open up and join in the center. So at the moment, the curtain is down and joined in the center. So I'm at the front introducing the next people to come up, and the big red curtain's behind me. And then after I had finished introducing the people, my role, so I was on the side, I was over here. And my role was to introduce them and then walk across, find the center join of the curtain, and go through. Which is pretty simple. It sounds simple. They say that there's like a little mark on the stage to show you where the center is so you don't have to, you know, search for the center. Of course, I didn't see it. The lights go off. I don't know what I'm doing. And I'm sort of shuffling along, looking through the red curtain. Can't see it. This is packed, by the way. There is loads and loads of people. I'm shuffling. I can't see the mark on the ground. It's gone dark. I've been searching for so long, people's eyes adjusted to the dark and they can see me just sort of shuffling. I start to hear the giggles and the laughs and they're just all laughing at me. And I'm there for maybe 30 seconds. I'm like, blow this. I lift the curtain up and I hop. I go under the curtain and, you know, my stage etiquette wasn't very good back in year 11. The following year, in year 12, I was school captain at my school and it came to our end of year concert. And I had to give, with my other school captain, the year 12 speech. And so we were doing that, and Nicole, she gave the first half of the speech, I gave the second half. So Nicole's say, you know, here speaking, and I'm just back a little. I just happened to be right in line with the red curtain, which was all the way up. And as she was speaking, the curtain was coming down. And I didn't know it was going to land on my head. This enormous red curtain, you know, Nicole speaking, doing the speech, and then this enormous red curtain just comes crashing down on my head. And again, everybody in the entertainment center just cracks up laughing at me again. And I'm like, man, this is not my place to be on a stage talking to people. I just don't have this down pat. And so I kind of relate, you know, I've read this scripture and I related because Paul says, although I am less than all the least of the Lord's people, and I thought, man, you know, if I'm going to be a pastor, I am less than the least. I can't even, you know, work the thing out on the stage. I can't get the stage thing happening properly. I've got curtains falling down on my head. And another thing that happened that night, what happens, we have like the big band thing, and they take a while to set up. And so we're out the back, and my English teacher was kind of running the night. He said, oh, this is going to take a while. Why don't you just go out there and tell everybody about yourself and just tell them the things that you've achieved this year? I'm like, you can't, that sounds stupid. And he's like, no, just tell them the things you've done. And I'm like, oh, no. 500 people, I walk out. Yeah, hey, you know, we got the band setting up and I just want to tell you about me and the things that I have done this year. I played rugby and, you know, we went, it was so embarrassing. So my stage etiquette was not very good. And, like, I just really related to that scripture, thinking of, like, Paul, he just felt like the less than the least of all the people. And I'm like, man, God, I am just, you know, so far below, you know, everybody else that, you know, can walk up on a stage and do things properly. But the second thing that really stood out to me in this scripture was the call that was on Paul's life. And that was to preach to the Gentiles the boundless riches of Christ. And that really excited me because I was just a fairly new Christian. And Jesus had just entered my heart, and I was so excited, and I was pumped, and I was committed to my church, and reading my Bible, and praying, and I was just loving life because Jesus was in me. And I just, when I read this, the boundless riches of Christ, that sounds so cool. I felt rich because I had Jesus in me. I'm like, man, I feel like this. I just want other people to feel the same. I just want to be able to help other people come to know Jesus and be rich in Jesus. And this scripture really spoke to me. And so tonight, I want to talk about the boundless riches of Christ. Because I think it would be a tragedy for us Christians if we lived our life not even knowing about the riches of Christ that we have access to and that we can live in. What a tragedy that would be if we were saved and we knew God and Jesus lived in us, but we just didn't live life to the full because we didn't know all the riches of Christ that we have access to and that He has given us and that Jesus lives in us. And we didn't know what that meant, so we just kind of lived an ordinary life and we missed out. What a tragedy that would be. You know the story of the boy, the two brothers, and in the Bible, in the book of Luke, chapter 15, verse 28 to 32, it's about two boys, and one boy takes his wealth, asks his dad, give me all your wealth and all the money that, you know, is for me. I want to go and just spend it and live life my own way. And you all know that story, the prodigal son. Yeah, and he goes out and just, you know, wastes all the money that his father gave to him. And then he realizes just all the wrong things that he's done. And he comes back to his father. And of course, his father's just waiting for him because he just loves him so much. And chucks this huge party for him. And I just want to pick up the story from verse 28. And the older brother became angry and refused to go in because his dad had just come out and told him that his other brother had come back. So his father went out and pleaded with him, but he answered his father, look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him. My son, the father said, you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. What a tragedy it would be if we were like that second brother, where we own everything that God owns, and we have access to everything that God can do. And yet we miss out on that. And we just live life slaving away from God, just doing it because we have to, not because we want to. And all these incredible riches that God has for us, and yet we miss out because we were just completely unaware. And I pray that tonight we would go home knowing the incredible and boundless riches of Christ that are inside of us because He lives in us, and that we can go on to live life to the full. So I've got three thoughts on the riches of Christ that I'd love to share with you guys. The three thoughts are, you've got to know your riches, you've got to protect your riches, and you've got to share your riches. So you've got to know what your riches are. If you turn to the book of Philippians, chapter 3, verse 7 to 11, I'd like to read this out. This is about Paul. And now Paul, he was an apostle, but before that, he was a Pharisee. And some people might have thought, well, this guy, he made it in life. You know, he done really well. He got to the top of his thing, and he was the one that everybody looked to and everybody listened to and everybody followed. And they would have thought, this guy has done it all. He's got it all. But Paul, when he came to know Jesus, well, everything just changed. And so, chapter 3, verse 7, Paul says, "But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ." The riches of Christ are not similar to the riches of this world. The riches of this world may be money and wealth and property and stature and popularity and all those sorts of things, but in the kingdom of God, that's not the riches of Christ. And they're completely different. In fact, those sorts of things that we as a world, you know, put up there and value highly and say, well, if you've got lots and lots of money, then you're rich and you've made it. Those sorts of things, Paul says, is garbage compared to the worth of knowing Jesus. All that stuff is garbage. It's the stuff that you chuck out in a trash can to go to the dump because it's worthless to you. And I want to say the riches of Christ are not what the riches of the world are. And in fact, that is just all rubbish compared to having Jesus. The riches of Christ is Christ Himself. And it's the riches of Christ is Jesus living inside of us. And I just want to share a few things with you on what those riches are, because there are so many. And I'm just going to read out a whole lot of Bible verses now, so I don't think they'll come up on the screen, because I'm just going to go through them really quickly, because there is heaps. The riches of Christ, they abound. There's an abundance. Romans 11, 33. Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God. What are the riches of Christ? Well, it's the wisdom and knowledge of God. We have access to the wisdom and knowledge of God. We can be in a circumstance where we don't understand what's going on, but we can get the wisdom and knowledge of God in any circumstance that we're facing. Ephesians 1, chapter 1, verse 7. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace. The riches of Christ is forgiveness. You know, if we live life without forgiveness, we're just going to be filled with condemnation and guilt. But as Christians, He has forgiven us. We can live in His grace and His mercy. And without that, we are nothing. But Jesus, He has forgiveness for us. And that is a part of the riches of Christ, the forgiveness. We don't have to live bound to all the mistakes that we've made because we have forgiveness in Christ. Ephesians 1, 18, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which He has called you, the riches of His glorious inheritance in His holy people. The riches of Christ is hope for the future and power for the present. Hope, you know, when we don't know what's happening, we have hope. Christ gives us hope for the future. The best days are before us. The best is yet to come. God has got an amazing plan for our lives. He's got it mapped out, and He wants to do incredible things in us. We have hope in Christ, and we have power for the present to live through the tough times of today and to push through any struggles. We have power in Christ. That is an awesome richness of Christ. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 7. In order that in the coming ages He might show the incomparable riches of His grace expressed in the kindness to us in Christ Jesus. It's grace, like I was talking about before. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. And my God will meet all your needs according to His riches, according to the riches of His glory in Christ Jesus. The riches of Christ include His provision in all things. He wants to provide for us in all areas, not just financial areas, but all areas of our life. He wants to provide. That's what the riches of Christ is, and what a tragedy it would be to miss out on God's provision, His miraculous provision in our life. Colossians chapter 1, verse 27. To them, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. The riches of Christ is just Jesus Himself in us. I want to add to the list purpose, identity, comfort, eternal life in heaven, the voice of God. How awesome it is to have the voice of God in our life. For Him to speak into our heart, regardless of what circumstance we're in, we can have the voice of God. What an incredible richness of Christ. Our family, the church. Wow. I love church, I love city life, and I love the family that I have here. This is one of the riches of Christ, that you get to be joined in, connected in to a family of believers that can encourage you and challenge you and build you up and lift you up. That's awesome. Unending love, that's another richness of Christ. Direction, joy, peace. There is just an abundance of the riches of Christ that we have access to and that God has put in our lives. And I just want to encourage you, don't live your life and we're not accessing those riches that Christ has put inside of you. Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, He wants to bless you. He wants to use you. He wants to give you peace in those crazy times. He wants to give you hope when you don't know what's happening. He wants to give you a deep, deep joy that you just know that you're called by God, that He loves you. He wants to give you the love of Christ. He wants to give you forgiveness. He wants to give you grace. He wants to give you purpose. These are all incredible things. These are the riches of Christ that He wants to give to you. And what a tragedy it would be if we lived our life as Christians not accessing these things. What an ordinary life it would be. So I've got 5 minutes to share the next two points, which is cool. So you got to protect your riches. Just quickly, you know, when we own something valuable, we protect it. And a friend at work was telling me about his partner, who he had bought lots and lots of jewelry for. And one day, I don't know, they had to leave or something, and they heard about a particular person who was going around looking in letterboxes for keys to units so they could, you know, grab the key and get into the unit and steal everything. I don't know why, but for some silly reason, they thought, oh, no, we'll be okay. And this was in that particular area. And so what happened, of course, this person just happened to go into their letterbox, get the key, go up into their house and steal all the jewelry that this guy had bought for his partner. And he'd spent thousands of dollars, he was telling me. So now he only buys cheap stuff for his girlfriend. That's lovely. But, you know, we've got to protect our riches. The riches of Christ. We can't live foolish and carelessly in our lives, but we've got to protect that which is valuable to us. And I want to encourage you to live like that, to protect the riches of Christ in your life. If it's valuable to you, you'll protect it. Proverbs 17:25 says, a foolish son brings grief to his father and bitterness to the mother who bore him. I think it says that because, you know, the father and the mother had built up an incredible wealth and an inheritance for their son, but their son was foolish, and they just were filled with so much grief and bitterness because they knew that when their son received the inheritance, it would all only go to waste. And I want to encourage you not to be like that. but to protect that which God has given you. John 10:10 says that the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. He wants to rob you of the riches of Christ in your life. He wants to rob you of the purpose of God in your life. He wants to rob you of the grace that God has for you. Every time you make a mistake and you feel like, I don't deserve God's grace, that's the enemy saying that, trying to rob you of the grace. The enemy wants to rob you of peace and hope and the love of Jesus in your life, and he's there to rob it. But I want to encourage you to protect the riches of Christ that are inside of you. And the last thought I have for you is you've got to share your riches. And this is kind of the one that I was most excited about, because God has given us so much incredible stuff that I've been talking about, and we have an opportunity to share that with other people. In 2 Corinthians 6, verse 10, Paul says, he's just sort of rattling off a whole lot of things. And then he just says, I am poor, but yet I make many rich. Does it come up there? No. He says, poor, but yet making many rich. And we have the riches of Christ in us, and we have an opportunity to make others rich also by sharing Jesus with them. According to the world standards, yes, Paul may have been poor and given up everything that he had before. But according to God's standards, he was rich because he had Jesus in his life. And I want to encourage you to be a people that makes many rich, that makes others rich, someone that speaks life into people, someone that encourages people. I love Life Group because it's a chance to just challenge the guys in my group and to encourage the guys in my group, because I want to make them rich in Christ. I want them to have full access and to live in all the richness of Christ in their life and not miss out on anything. And so, you know, I've been making an effort to kind of challenge them more because I want to see them grow and expand. And so, you know, Paul actually, he did the same thing, and he said in 2 Corinthians 7 verse 8 to the church there, even if I caused you sorrow by my letter, I do not regret it. Though I did regret it, I see my letter hurt you, but only for a little while. Yet now I am happy, not because you were made sorry, but because your sorry led to repentance. And so Paul was somebody who would have such a positive impact on people. He would encourage people, he would lift people up, but he would also challenge people because he wanted to make many rich. And he would challenge them so that they could eventually grow. And that's why I love Life Group, because I can challenge them knowing that eventually that we will all grow and experience the incredible life that God has for us. I love 2 Corinthians 9:11. It says, you will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. That is awesome. You will be enriched in every possible way. Christ wants to enrich you in every single area of your life so that you can be generous on every single occasion in your life. He wants us to be rich, but he also wants us to be rich so that others can be rich, so that we can reach out to others and bless others and love other people and build other people up. He wants us to make many rich, and he has enriched us in all our areas of life so that we can be generous on all occasions. We can be generous with the riches of Christ that he has given us in our workplace. We can be generous with the riches of Christ that he has given us in our schools, in our families, with the friends, in our life groups. We can be generous on every occasion because he has enriched us in every way. That is awesome. You know, I love this. I think, you know, when we hear about poverty, we think about like places like Africa and you know, the third world countries where, you know, poverty is a real issue, and literally they don't have enough food and shelter and housing and education and all that sort of stuff. But I think we live in a world and in this city that is stricken by spiritual poverty, where people are trying to find value and find richness in all the wrong places. And we have the riches of Christ in us, and we have an opportunity to eradicate spiritual poverty in the city of Wollongong and in China and in Thailand and everywhere we're reaching out to. We have an opportunity to eradicate spiritual poverty by sharing Christ with our friends, by reaching out to people. And that's why we are a church that is just so focused on reaching the lost, because we want to see them come to know Jesus. and find the riches of Christ in their life and not try and search for it in other places where they're not going to find it. You know, I heard today, and you may have heard, I think Whitney Houston died today at the age of, 50 or something, which is way too young. But they say it was from an overdose of drugs. Now, I would say Whitney Houston is someone that's kind of made it. She's kind of rich and famous and got lots of stuff. But it just goes to show that if you have all the money in the world, these people, that hasn't satisfied their soul. So they're looking in other places and they look to drugs. And of course, that doesn't work and that kills their lives. But we have Jesus, who is the true satisfier of our souls, who is the one who saved us and loved us, who is the truth of this world. And we have an opportunity to share the riches of Christ with our friends. People who are searching in all the wrong places, we can be that person that shows them Jesus, and we can eradicate the spiritual poverty in our city. And I want to encourage you to know the riches that you have in Jesus, to protect the riches that Jesus has given you so that the enemy won't rob it from your life, and to also share your riches so that we can make a difference in this world. 2 Timothy 1:9, I'll finish on this thought, and the band can come up, says, He has saved us and called us to a holy life. We're not just saved, we're called as well. I want to say, we can't just live this life, you know, enjoying the riches of Christ for our souls, because we are called and we have a purpose written over our life and we have a commission that God has given us to go out and make disciples. We are not just saved, but we are called. So I want to encourage you, young people, with the riches of Christ that you have in your life, to make many rich, to reach out to your friends and share with them Jesus, to eradicate spiritual poverty in this city, in your school, in your workplace, in your family, by showing them Jesus, by shining Jesus, by telling them about Jesus, by living a life that maybe you don't even need to say it, but your life just shouts out Jesus. You have the riches of Christ in you. Know them. Live in them. Experience that. Don't live a tragic life. Don't live a normal life, but enjoy life to the fullest, which is why Jesus came to save us. Protect those riches that Christ has given you. Purpose, identity, hope, love, peace, joy. And share your riches with others. Make a difference in this world. Let's pray. Mighty God, I thank you for your love for us. I thank you, God, for the incredible riches of Christ that we have. We thank you for Jesus, who died for us to save us from our sins. And we honor you, God, and we love you, and we want to live our lives for you. God, I pray you would help us to live aware and not oblivious, God, to the riches of Christ that are inside of us, Lord. Help us to know them and experience them and live them out in our lives, God. Help us to protect them, Lord, so that we are not robbed of that incredible blessing that you have for us, Lord. And mighty God, most of all, I pray you'd help us to share our riches, God, and not store them all up for ourselves and keep them to ourselves, God, but we would share Jesus with the world. We would share Jesus with our friends and family, mighty God. Thank you, Lord. We honor you, God. We honor you, God. We're just going to finish by praying a simple prayer that's going to come up on the screen. If you don't know Jesus and you want to know him, you want to accept him into your life, I want to encourage you to pray this from your heart and really mean it. And then if that's you, then speak to the person that you came with who invited you. And so the prayer is going to come up. And if you want to know Jesus, you want to be saved, and you want to experience the riches of Christ in your life, maybe you've been missing out and it's time to grab a hold of it. Now's the time to pray and accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. So let's pray together. Dear Jesus, I believe in you. Thank you for forgiving me. Come into my life.